Appreciate each one of you being here. I ask that you would keep us in your prayers as we endeavor to share some thoughts to feel inspired with. We probably are aware in our world today of a few acronyms. Y'all know what an acronym is. It's a phrase that has been reduced to a set of letters. And things that's out there in our world, in our whatever field of occupation we are, that there's usually acronyms that people use. If you're in the building trades, there's acronyms for that. If you're in the repair industry, there's acronyms there. The manufacturing, the military, and just as the general public, we use acronyms. And we have some called, two of them that I want to bring a little bit of attention to. OCD and ADHD. Everybody's probably heard those two acronyms. And the last D on both of those stand for the same word. It's called disorder. And it's good that people understand that it's a disorder, because a disorder is something that we would say is not normal. And it's something that needs to have some changes or adjustments made to it. Or it's something that we have to have a coping mechanism for of some sort. And I really wonder how people survive before they realize that there was a percentage of people that had something we call OCD or ADHD. You know, I don't think my grandpa knew anything about that. And so is it a new disorder that's been created by society? And I have, I think the truth is still yet to be determined on that. I have my suspicions. But anyway, it's a disorder. And I think about the things that we contend with in our minds, in our spirits, our innermost being. And I'm thinking this morning about something that we can fall into, something that would be a disorder, something that would trouble us. Someone that has OCD is troubled. If everything is not just to their level of perfection, they're distressed about it. And someone that has ADHD has a disorder that makes them distressed with just sitting still. They can't do it. I think sometimes the treatment for both of them that the medical field proposes is more distressing than the actual thing. But anyway, I'm not here just to promote my opinions, but I do realize, because I contend with things that causes me to feel distressed to some level. We all have those things. We call it discouragement. We call it disappointment. We call it trouble, burdens. We have labels for things that causes us to feel less than just content. We would like to be content with everything, or I would, but I'm not always content. There seems like there's a little ripple on the pond, so to speak, in life. And so I wrote up here, consumed about being consumed. Being consumed. I was thinking of a scripture over here in the book of Lamentations. Lamentations, you might say, is a book in the Bible that's kind of like, woe is me. And there is a kind of a disorder out there. Folks can get to where they feel like everything's against them, and that's the mindset they have, is woe is me. Everything is against me, and there's no way I can be content. There's no way I can be acceptable or feel happy. They feel like happiness is avoiding them and evading them. And so in the third chapter of the book of Lamentations, you're welcome to read all the whole chapter. I think it might be a good read for you. But in the first verse and down through about verse 20 or 21, at least through 19, the writer here is lamenting. That's what Lamentations means. They're lamenting. They're recounting everything that could go wrong. You know, I was raised on a lot of colloquial expressions, and one of them was, cheer up, things could get worse, or could be worse. And the response that I've heard someone say was, they cheered up and sure enough it got worse. We can feel that everything is against us, and it's just one trouble after another trouble. And only thing we can envision is more trouble and more disappointment. And we start feeling consumed. We start feeling overwhelmed with the events of life and how it's unrolling and unfolding, and it looks like clouds today and doom tomorrow, and we start feeling consumed about being consumed. Everywhere we turn is something else that's more discouraging, something else that's more disappointing, and we can allow it to become a disorder. And if we let it get popular enough, somebody will have an acronym for it. But I believe with the help of the Lord, we don't have to be consumed about being consumed. That's the point of the message this morning. So follow with us here. In Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 21, he's recounting all of the things that went wrong because he tried to be cheered up, and sure enough, it did go wrong. It says, this I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. So what he's fixing to tell us, I believe, is what come to his mind. Not everything up to that point, but what he's fixing to say. So what he said in verse 22 is, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. So when we get to feeling oppressed by the things that look like is going to consume us, the things that looks like it's going to be more than we can stand and more than we can handle, so to speak, in our emotions, in our physical bodies, maybe the mental strain appears to be too much. Maybe it feels like that nothing is turning out the way we wanted it to. Maybe we've prayed about some things. Maybe we've wished things would turn out different, and it just simply didn't. Well, here's the key. We need to remember that it's of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. It's because of his merciful kindness toward us that we're not consumed. His compassions don't fail. That's what the writer in Lamentations had to say. And it's my understanding that it was Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah. It's his Lamentations. And you know, he had a lot to say that went wrong. He spent some time in a pit. He was put down in there because he stood for truth. And he put him in a pit, and his people wouldn't listen to his prophecies, and they got carried off captive by the Babylonians. He lived to see the prophecy fulfilled. And you know, he experienced a lot of disappointments. And he was the one, most likely, that was writing all of these things up above. Felt like he'd been attacked by the Lord. There was one thing after another that was coming against him until he come down and he said, "I'll recall this to my mind, therefore have I hope." You know, I'd like for us to look back in our minds this morning and pull that back out of the cobwebs and the dust. The Lord has mercy, and it's of His mercy that we are not consumed. It's of His mercies that I'm able to be up and about and come to service this morning. It's of His mercies that I can be able to stand before you today, not because of anything of who I am, because of His inspiration. I want you to be encouraged today to think that His compassions fail not. I'd like to think about a song. There's a verse of a song that we have in our book. It's number 180, if you want to turn there. Just going to read the first verse. I'm not going to try to sing it to you. It says, "When my soul is oppressed with the sorrows of life." You ever had any of those? If you hadn't, come see me. I'll give you a few lamentations. I've had some sorrows. And more than likely, some of you've had some sorrows. Things that didn't turn out like you wanted to. Maybe you invested time. Maybe you invested money. Maybe you invested some of your energy. And maybe you've been planning on something for years. I'm old enough that I can say that. There's been things that I've planned for and hoped for years. And see, it don't come like I wanted it to. And he says here, "When my soul is oppressed with the sorrows of life, and the thought of the morrow alarms," that's when we start feeling consumed about being consumed. Everything I've tried don't turn out right. I've done this way and I've done that. And I've tried to prepare and I've tried to do my part. And many times we're kind of patting ourselves on the back when we're doing that. But we've tried to do all of these things and do right and live the way we're supposed to live and take heed to God's word and His law and all of that. And he said, and the thought of the morrow alarms. I wonder what's going to happen next. I wonder what other disappointments I'm going to face. I wonder what other calamity is going to come my way. I wonder what else is not going to work out that I wish would have worked out. And we start feeling consumed about being consumed. He says, "With my care-laden heart, then I flee from the strife, and I weep out my woes in His arms." Have you learned how to do that? When we start feeling what I got wrote on the board, it's time to take our troubles to the Lord and say, "Lord, I don't have any good words. I don't know what to say. You know the thoughts and intents in my heart. You know my downsettings, my uprisings. You know all about me. I don't know why things had to turn out this way. But I want to remember what the verse in Lamentations says. It is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. His compassions fail not." In John, the 21st chapter, St. John, the 21st chapter, we notice someone that was being consumed with something that Jesus tried to redirect him on. It was Peter. You can only imagine. Peter was one that said things that came to his mind that probably he would have been better off sometimes if he didn't, but then Peter, verse 20, chapter 21 of St. John. "Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee?" Peter, seeing him also, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Peter's worried, isn't he? He's troubled about what's going to happen. And you know, right above this, Jesus had said, Peter, do you love me? Well, yes, Lord, I love you. Feed my lambs. And he told Peter that three times to try to make sure that Peter got it. Now, Peter might have had some of one of those other acronyms. He was a little bit attention deficit, I think. And Jesus had told him three times, Peter, feed my lambs, feed my sheep. Do what your hand finds to do, as Ecclesiastes says. Do the things that's right there in front of you. Do the right thing, Peter. Feed my lambs, feed my sheep. They're going to need some nurturing. They're going to need some counsel as to what to do with all their troubles in life. And that's what we're trying to do here this morning with the help of the Lord. And Peter wasn't satisfied to just know what he had to do, but he said, Lord, who's going to betray you? And by the way, this disciple that's real close to you, what's his job? He was starting to be consumed with being consumed. He was worrying about things that really wasn't Peter's job to worry about. And we can do that too. We begin to worry. What's going to happen if this happens? And what am I going to do if somebody don't do that and this and something else? And what am I going to do if politics change? Well, I'm not sure. But I know this. I know that it's of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. I've lived long enough to survive changes in politics. I've lived long enough to see changes in leadership in various places. And Peter here was saying, Lord, what about this? What's going to happen? It's not just enough for you to give me a job and me to focus on it, but Lord, what about all this other stuff? He was starting to feel consumed, you see? What did Jesus say to him? And Jesus said unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. You know, what he was saying was, Peter, it's not your job to worry about that. You know, I'm going to make a way for you. I've told you what to do. These are my words. I told you what to do, Peter. I told you to feed my sheep. I told you to do the things that was staring you in the face. You know what one of the worst things that can happen about being consumed with being consumed is? We get distracted with what we know we ought to do. The Scripture says, the Old Testament Scripture says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with thy might. Don't be worrying about what she's going to do or what he's going to do or what's going to happen if somebody else gets into office or what's going to happen if it don't rain or if it don't the sun don't shine or whatever that might be. But what is it that's right there in front of you? You know, right now, this is what I feel like the Lord wants out of me, is to share these thoughts with you. And there's times that I think, Lord, did it do any good? Did I do what I was supposed to do? And I can start being consumed with being consumed. But just remember, what did Jesus say to Peter? If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. And following Jesus meant feeding his sheep. Let's go to Psalms, the 73rd Psalm. And this Psalm has been an encouragement to me multiple times because the psalmist writes here that he was feeling consumed about being consumed. He says, that's not the words in the Scripture. He says, truly, God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, here's my personal experience, he said. My feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. I was feeling consumed that everything would turn against me. He said, for I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. You know you can be consumed with that? I tried. Everything I seem to do turns to poverty. And those that aren't trying to really live conscientious, it looks like it's turning out to be the jackpot for them. It says, for there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. It looks like that they've got it all together. Everywhere I look, it looks like everybody else has the advantage and I have the disadvantage. He says, they are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore, pride compasseth them about as a chain, violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness, they have more than heart could wish. That's just, we are feeling overwhelmed with all of our troubles and all of our burdens and all of our needs and all of those things. And we look around and those that are making no effort to really live in conformity to God's word, everything seems to be going good for them. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppressions. They speak loftily, they set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore his people returneth hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. And they say, how doth God know? And is there any knowledge of the Most High? God don't care. You know, there's people that have professed to be atheists and said, if there is a God, he ought to strike me with lightning. And it didn't happen. So he said, see, there's no God. They're just mocking. And it's like, I'd be afraid to do those kind of things. But there's people out there that does. And we're consumed with, Lord, how do they get away with that? And I'll make one little wrong turn in my life or make one little misjudgment and it feels like everything's falling in on me. And we start feeling consumed about being consumed. And that's where this writer was. My feet had well nigh slipped, he said. Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily, I've cleansed my heart in vain. You ever thought that? You've probably been slipping down that slope of feeling consumed about being consumed. I've cleansed my heart in vain, the writer said, and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. And then the game changes in the next verse. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood therein. You know where the game changer is? It's when we come in the presence of the Lord. He says, until I came into the sanctuary of God, then understood I therein. It doesn't matter what it looks like on the outside. It doesn't matter of the apparent success or apparent happiness. What really matters is when we get down before the Lord and say, Lord, I may feel like a Jeremiah right now today. I may feel like that everything is going against me. You know, Daniel could have felt that way. He was put in the lion's den. The three Hebrew children could have felt that way when they were thrown in the fiery furnace. Lord, we tried to do the right thing. We tried to take a stand for you, and here we are being thrown in the fiery furnace. But the Lord will bring us out, I believe. He said, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I therein. What did the writer say in Lamentations? It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. His mercies are new, I believe it said, every morning or something to that effect. So what's the best deterrent for this disorder? What's the best deterrent that you can practice? I'd like to go to Job, the 23rd chapter, and notice what Job... Did Job's end up very well? I think we all realize that. I'd like to read that to begin with. Let's go to Job. I think it's chapter 42. Job 42 and 16. Well, that's not the verse I was looking for, but... It says about his latter end. Verse 12, chapter 42 of Job. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. For he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, and 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 she-asses. It goes down to verse 16. It says, after this lived Job 140 years, and saw his sons and his sons' sons, even to four generations. So Job died, being old and full of days. That's the end of Job. But you know, there was times in Job's life that he could have felt consumed about being consumed. Everything he had was being taken away. Incrementally, livestock, children, wife turned against him. All of those kind of things. Let's look in chapter 23, beginning in verse 8. I want to know what I can do for an antidote, for something to counteract this disorder that wants to creep over us. I believe in our society today, those acronyms of disorders have crept into our society little by little until we accept them instead of looking for ways to prevent them. That's what I believe. But let's look here. 23, beginning verse 8. He said, behold, this is Job speaking, I go forward, but he's not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. What is Job saying? I'm looking all around. He's lost all of his stuff. He's got friends that's come and rebuked him and told him he's doing everything wrong. And everywhere I look that God should be there for me, he's not. I look over here where he's worked in other people's lives and he's not over there. I look behind me where he's been in the past and he's not there. Everywhere I look, God is not there. And Job said, he knoweth the way that I take. When he tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Lord, help us to have a deep, heartfelt commitment. I'm going to live for the Lord. It says in verse 11, my foot hath held his steps, his way have I kept, and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. You think that Peter would have been more established if he had had a hold of this instead of worrying about who was going to betray Jesus and what John was going to do? I think he would have been much better equipped to handle this feeling of just wondering what everybody else is going to do. You know what the most unstable thing that we can do in life? The scripture says what? Don't measure yourself among yourselves. It's not wise. We start looking around and wondering, well, what they're going to do. I wonder what they're up to. And then we're trying to adjust and compensate for all of that. We'll be in trouble. We'll be overwhelmed. Job said he was committed for the long term. For the long time, down the road. I'd like to look at another verse. Coming to the end of our little thought this morning in Proverbs, the fourth chapter. This is a passage of scripture that has helped me many, many times in life. I've shared it with others. I'll share it with you this morning in Proverbs chapter 4, beginning in verse 23. It says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee." And here's what I really want us to pay attention to. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. You think that would have helped Peter? Peter would have probably only had to been told one time, "Feed my sheep," if he'd had that kind of frame of mind. But instead, he was looking around. Jesus could tell that. That's why he told Peter three times, "Feed my sheep." Because Peter was worried about everybody else and what they were doing and what was going on around him. "Let thine eyes look right on. Let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil." You want to be able to overcome this feeling, this disorder, if you want to call it that, of being consumed, about being consumed? This is one of the secrets, I believe. Let's go to Hebrews, the 13th chapter, and this will be the last verse that I read for you. Hebrews chapter 13, and verse 5, I believe, is what I want to read. 13 and verse 5, it says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." The Lord has promised to be there for us. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. He won't leave us abandoned. He won't let something more come on us than we're able to stand. He's going to be there even when it looks like he's not. He's going to be there for us. And when you feel consumed, when you feel overwhelmed by all the negative things that's happened in life, the things that's going on around us, the prospects of the future, remember, he's not going to leave you. And he's not going to forsake you. Job said, "Though he's tried me, I'm going to come forth as gold." It looked like that the Lord had abandoned him, was not around him. But I believe the Lord was there. And it come down to a point that the Lord was able to bless him, that his latter end was better than his beginning. The Lord will bring us through. I could fall into this myself real easily. Just like I'm sure there's others here that could fall into this disorder of being consumed about everything is going wrong. Nothing is going right. Don't let yourself get into that. Don't let yourself contemplate what next bad thing can happen. Ask God to help you to rise above those things. When the enemy wants to come out and point everything out that might be going wrong, but allow that to drive your soul closer to the Lord. Get in that sanctuary where the psalmist said, "Then I went into the sanctuary of God, and then I was able to understand the end of where all that other was going." Lord, help us all today to not become a disorder where we feel consumed about being consumed. You know what consumed means, don't you? It means that you're just completely used up. There's nothing left of you. You don't have any strength for anything else. You know, if you're consumed with something. It means you don't have time for anything else. And the enemy wants you to be taken up with the thought that all I got to do in life is worry about troubles. And he'll get you discouraged. And he gets you to the point that you want to give up. Nothing's turning out right, so why should I try? That's the devil talking to you. That's the devil trying to discourage you. Don't let him have that opportunity. Let's get in the sanctuary of the Lord so we can understand where all of that looks discouraging going on around us, where it ends. You pray for me.